670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
As promised, we have Taylor Kyles from CLNS joining us here. He's covered the Patriots there for a number of years. Taylor, thanks for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
We've been talking quite a bit today about Mike Vrabel. It's a big week for Mike Vrabel, his whole operation, to sort of justify they're on the right track. I was surprised they lost to the Raiders this week. We were disappointed in how it went down. What do they need to correct here week two against the Dolphins?
Well, I think it starts with Drake May, right? Because he's the quarterback, the guy who gets the ball in every single snap. And one of the bigger disappointments for me was how inconsistent he was. I was hoping it was going to be like Mac Jones's debut under McDaniels, right? Where he's getting all the right calls in, he's slinging it. And, of course, these are different quarterbacks, maybe an unfair standard to hold him to. But I thought the inaccuracy kind of continued as an issue that we saw throughout the summer, where sometimes he sails passes, sometimes it's just not to the right shoulder. That makes it harder for receivers to get yards after the catch, which we know is very important in this Josh McDaniels offense. And also just in terms of throwing to guys on his initial read, he seemed kind of amped up and missed some opportunities and didn't always protect himself. Sometimes I thought he took hits when he really should have thrown the ball away. So I need to see a better performance from Drake. But even more important than that, the run game has to exist, because Vrabel admitted they had to pretty much abandon the run because it wasn't effective at all. So Drake may be more consistent, the run game just showing some sign of life. And then the defense, I don't have a ton of qualms, to be honest, but they got to tone down some of the blitzes. I thought it was successful for the most part, but they got cued a couple of times, and they really paid for it.
All right, one of the big topics over the last 2.5 days has been, is there too much on Drake May's plate, combined with how Mike Vrabel has sort of answered that question? Where do you come down on that? Do you think is Josh McDaniels doing the best for Drake May? Does he need to take some of it back? Where do you come down on that discussion?
I think Vrabel acknowledging that it could have been a possibility. Like, I don't really like to get in people's heads, but I think that was significant. And it's also important to remember that there are going to be growing pains. This is a relationship that's in its infancy. So there's going to be some adjusting that Drake has to do and that Josh has to do. Now, we've heard McDaniels in the past say, you know, every quarterback or player is like a cup. You don't want to overfill it. You want to give him just enough until, okay, maybe we can graduate to a bucket. Now, if that is why Drake May was amped up early on, then yeah, maybe you have to take some off. But to be honest, I didn't really think he wasn't seeing the field well as the game went on. Because in the second half, the pass protection was kind of shot. He had a couple passes that were batted that probably could have gone for positive gains. So it's really hard to say, but I'll say this, that it didn't feel like Drake was just a deer in headlights, but maybe some more calls that play towards his style, because I'm just not sure, at least at this stage in his career, if Drake is the kind of passer that you want dinking and dunking, kind of like you saw with Tom Brady and Mac Jones and those guys.
So I'm curious. I know you were in the offseason. I'm sure you appreciate this getting thrown back in your face, but you had the Patriots at one point for 11 wins. Keith has them for 10. I have them for 9.
I'm not that far off.
So, like, look, we were all pretty bullish on the Patriots. I'm a little shaken after week one, Taylor. But rewind it to Josh McDaniels is hired as the OC of the New England Patriots, and there were other potential options out there to bring in as a fit with Drake May. What was your initial reaction, your thought of the initial fit with McDaniels and May?
I was excited because, obviously, Josh McDaniels, the head coach, has not been good. But Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, has shown that he can have success with different quarterbacks. Like we saw with Cam Newton, and how he basically said, okay, we're going to be a quarterback running team, and basically incorporated all of these new concepts, some of which we actually saw with Drake May. So I was looking forward to the idea of Josh having a quarterback with a dynamic skill set, where rather than having to be super methodical, which, you know, what Josh McDaniels' offense will always be, you could see more of the modern stuff, right? Like the quarterback run game. You start to see some deep passes where Drake can really uncork his arm. And I understood that there might have been some difficult parts of it, but this is also a system that's built to attack space, right? There's a lot of these post-snap adjustments that everybody talks about. But that's something that when I asked Drake May last year how he sees the field, that's how he sees things. He doesn't want guys running routes like they run on paper. He wants them to take advantage of holes in the defense. So I was excited, and I'm still far from, you know, saying that they need to change offensive coordinators or anything like that. I'm not really discouraged at the marriage, but like I said earlier, it's still early, and I think these guys just have to continue to get on the same page and see what, you know, obviously at the end of the day, it's about what Drake May likes.
What did you think of Steph Diggs' debut, and do you think he should play more in week two?
So Diggs actually played a lot. He played the third most snaps among Patriots receivers behind Tayshaun Booty and DeMario Douglas, which is about what you'd expect, right?
So, Taylor, can I just jump in on that real quick? Because I think there's a there's a discrepancy there from the game book. I saw you tweeting about this. You had Diggs down for more snaps than Hollins, because I did see there's a bit of a discrepancy on that, but I had seen it elsewhere that he played more snaps as well.
Yeah, so, and I understand why. So basically, Mac Hollins was on the field when the Patriots were trying to get into their run formation for the most part. There was some mixing in, but really, Stephon Diggs' role, and yes, he did play more snaps than Mac Hollins, he wasn't really on the field for run plays. Not that they ran the ball a ton, but and that's kind of what I expected was going to be the case, that Mac Hollins' early downs, because he's big, he's physical, you don't really want Stephon Diggs being Julian Edelman at the point of attack on runs, right? So he was more used as a flanker type, or he's next to the tight end, more kind of schemed opportunities. And to be fair, this was a Raiders team that played only six snaps of man coverage. That's important to note, right? So you talk about, oh, is Diggs getting open? He was open, but not in the ways that you might expect, because he's trying to find spaces and zones, and it's hard to really identify without the ball going to him. When the ball went to him, I thought he looked good. Caught everything, had that third down slant that was thrown behind him. He still grabbed it. So I thought it was encouraging as a first game for Stephon Diggs. It just maybe wasn't what a lot of people expected, considering the money he got and, you know, some kind of thinking he was going to be their wide receiver one.
Talking to Taylor Kyles, beat reporter for CLNS Media. You can check him out at tkyles39 on Twitter. Good breakdown of the game there if you want to go seek it out. It's good stuff there. Taylor, Christian Gonzalez had an interesting tweet on Instagram. Seemed to imply that he could be coming back, or post rather, on Instagram. Seemed to imply that he could be coming back. Do you expect him to be back this week, and will that change? You referenced the blitzes that they did. Will his presence impact how they call plays defensively?
I mean, I think it has to, because with Gonzo on the field, they already played a ton of man coverage, and I just think that's going to continue to be their identity. But Christian Gonzalez obviously gives you more freedom to be aggressive, because you're not as afraid of the other team's wide receiver one. Now, in terms of him coming back, there is the fact that they released DJ James, who had a good summer for them. He only played one snap against the Raiders, so, you know, I wouldn't say it's a stunner necessarily, but it was surprising and might hint towards, you know, Christian Gonzalez coming back, especially. I didn't see the post, but, you know, we know how these players are these days. If they make the cryptic post, who knows? It has to at least be acknowledged that something could be in the works. But I will say I'm nervous, because one issue when especially skilled players like cornerbacks, receivers, guys who run a lot, when they miss extended time, it amplifies the risk of soft tissue injuries, which Gonzo's already dealing with. Unless he is 100%, I am hesitant to throw him out there when the risk of him getting hurt is already going to be higher than it should be. And if he's at 75%, that could just exacerbate it, and then you miss him later in the season when hopefully games matter more. So will he be on the field? Potentially. We're starting to see some signs that could be the case. But I will say I am very hesitant, especially when you're going to Miami. It's going to be humid, and you're going to be running with these track stars in Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, right there at cutdown day, we saw a big surprise, a big shift at safety, and Jabril Peppers cut after all the talk about Kyle Duggar. Peppers now with the Steelers. Duggar plays seven snaps or whatever it is on defense. They turn it over to Hawkins and Woodson. What did you think of that decision, first of all, to move on from Peppers and to reduce the role of Duggar? And then also, what did you see from the safeties in the game on Sunday?
Yeah, so I wasn't stunned when Jabril Pepper was released. I'd actually mentioned a few days before that his role seemed to be kind of dwindling on the team. And that really, I think, is because in this defense, right or wrong, Mike Vrabel wants his safeties to play sides of the field. Whereas in the past, you really had Jabril Peppers as more of a free safety who would bump into the slot against the run and sometimes he'd be in the box covering running backs. But you didn't really like him covering tight ends, and Patriot safeties never cover wide receivers. That's not the case in this system. We saw Craig Woodson and Jalen Hawkins covering tight ends, covering wide receivers, which I don't love, but it's what they do, and we'll see how it works. Those guys are a bit more versatile. They're longer. They're a bit quicker in terms of change of direction, and they just are – they're bigger physical presences than a Peppers, which I think gives them the ability to be deep, you know, be in the slot, be in the box, because that could change snap to snap just based on the offense's presentation. So for those reasons, I did understand why they moved on from Jabril Peppers, who is still very physical, still very smart, brings great energy, and Vrabel mentioned that. But you don't want him doing everything. He's really just going to play in the slot for you, and that's what we saw from Kyle Duggar. His 7 snaps all came in the slot when the Patriots went with their bigger nickel package. So that means – yeah, Jalen Hawkins and Craig Woodson as your main safeties, and then Duggar a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage on the field instead of like a Marcus Jones. And I think he has more versatility than that, but I also think he's still getting comfortable in this defense because he missed the entire spring just like Jabril Peppers did. That put both of those guys behind the eight ball. So I thought Craig Woodson and Jalen Hawkins were pretty good. Hawkins did miss a tackle, but he also had a sack. You know, he had TFLs, and Craig Woodson was a really physical presence who was pretty good for the most part. So I mean, I'm not saying that safety is a strength for this team, but I also don't know if it would have been even if Peppers was still here.
In your review, what did you think of Will Campbell in his debut?
I thought he was solid. He did not look like he was drowning or anything like that. He obviously gave up the strip sack. That was on a play where he was kind of getting a bump from Ramondre Stevenson. His arm got caught inside, and Malcolm Kuntz, a veteran, was able to capitalize. Obviously, the false starts, can't have those, especially in those situations. And there were some times where I thought he still overcommitted inside. And then, like, I think there was one where Kuntz came on, or Tyree Wilson, rather, came on a stun and hit Drake May untouched. Sometimes he'll leave really big spaces inside for defenders to beat him and get quick pressure. So those are things that you're going to have to fix. But for a rookie, it's really all about improvement, right? We're not expecting these guys to be perfect. But if I am a Patriots fan, I am encouraged by what Will Campbell put on tape in week 1.
Obviously, they went away from the run in the second half, but when they did run the ball in the first half, was the ineffectiveness due to the O-line? Was it the running backs not making guys miss, or was it just the Raiders defense playing well?
So the Raiders defense did play very well, and a big issue, especially with a new offensive line where this is a combination that's only been working together for about a month. A lot of what the Raiders did was use post-snap movement. So they'd start in one gap, then they'd shoot into another and kind of backdoor guards and Garrett Bradbury to get underneath and then be able to make tackles, sometimes confuse blocking assignments or make it harder for guys to get to the second level. Biggest issue I saw was kind of those backdoors from defensive linemen and then linebackers and safeties being able to come downhill untouched. So the biggest emphasis in the future, I think, is going to be recognizing those post-snap movements and making sure that you are able to block those linebackers, because just Ramondre Stevenson, I would have liked to see break more tackles, but this is like the third year in a row that you see him having to make magic every time he touches the ball. That is just obviously not a sustainable formula.
We have the hashtag Dork Minute coming up at 11:45. Taylor, if I'm not mistaken, you're a big movie guy, correct?
I love movies.
Okay, yes. Now I saw Keith perk up over. Keith, I don't know if you have any very recommendations coming up, to spoil anything.
I was going to ask Taylor what the best movie he's seen this year has been.
Is it too basic to say Sinners?
Yeah, okay, let's do, because I would agree. Let's go besides Sinners.
That gets some pushback though.
Well, yeah, like Greg doesn't like it. Wiggy liked it, but didn't love it.
Yeah.
Me and Nick loved it.
Stiz.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
All right, but let's give me one more.
I got a good one. Caught Stealing, the movie with Austin Butler and Zoe Kravitz. Oh, that was some of the most fun I've had at the movies in a couple years. That, highly recommend. Okay. Fast-paced, funny, good action, insane cast. Go see it. Really fun flick.
Excellent. I've not seen it. It's in the theaters now.
Oh, yeah. What?
Austin Butler. It's the Darren Aronofsky movie. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I will. I'll add it to my list.
Let's add that to the list. Taylor Kyles here on Jones and Keefe. Check out his work at CLNS. You can follow him on Twitter at TKyles39. Good stuff there. Go seek it out. Taylor, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you.
Taylor Kyles joining us here on Jones and Keefe.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.